Ready?
All right. I'd like to call us to order this morning on this Monday morning, 9:00 Health and Social Services Committee meeting. Thank you one and all for being here, members, and those on the listening audience. Next is a prayer. I'm going to ask Congresswoman Goodfox if she'd be so kind to lead us in a morning prayer.
Yes, sir. Thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we ask that you look down upon the Osage people wherever they may be. We ask that you look down upon our elders and our youth, those incarcerated, those with addiction issues, the widowed, and the disabled. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Next is roll call. We have a roll call for our presence.
Congresswoman Stabler. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Speaker Walker.
Here.
Congressman Mason.
Present. Claire, we do have a quorum present, and we'll now go to the approval of the minutes from last meeting. We have two to cover, don't we? September 20th, we'll do that first, and then we'll take care of September 21st.
Morning, Paula.
Good morning.
Acknowledging Congresswoman Stabler's arrived. We had heavy traffic in Pawhuska. In reference to September 20th minutes, are there any corrections, deletions? Speaker Walker.
Talk to page 2, where it says program dollars. Wait a second, I guess that's right. It says it also, it says tribal dollar sign at $2,000 and $48,000, I guess. At first glance, that looked like it was.
Should we write it out?
We'll leave it up to you, clerks. It's okay. Thank you, Speaker Walker. That's a good question.
Motion to approve the minutes for September 21.
Be 20, please. September 20.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, motion's been made. Do we hear a second?
Second.
Have a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed say no.
Abstain.
Okay, September 21 minutes, please review.
Motion to approve the minutes for September 21.
Motion made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
And I have a second. Discussion. Speaker Walker.
On the motion to report. For all the sections were reported. Is that passed with a due pass recommendation? Or was that passed
you
as reviewed and accepted? reported it back to the appropriations.
Back to the appropriations committee. I'll report that out today.
We didn't have any, when we reviewed, when we made the motion to review and accept, we didn't have anyone say that they didn't have a do not pass.
That was made. That's all.
We're still in discussion to the motion. Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed say no.
Abstain.
And abstention. So the minutes are approved. We'll move right on to consideration of ONC 1841, an act to authorize and appropriate $10 million to the health benefit plan fund from fiscal year 2019 tribal revenue and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards, who is not present. However, we have members of the executive. I believe treasurer is here. Gentlemen, would you please join us at the table as we're going to continue some discussion on this particular piece of legislation. I think there might be some enlightenment that you might have for us, and maybe some changes need to be made before we take action on this legislation. So, gentlemen, if you could identify yourself for our listening audience, and then we'll move forward.
Morning, I'm Jason Zahn, Chief of Staff.
Okay, thank you.
Sam Alexander, Treasurer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Alexander. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Good morning.
All right, I'll leave it open to the table first. Are there any questions, leading questions from the committee? Hearing Mr. Speaker Walker.
Well, I'll just open it up.
Yes.
With the question about the questions. I mean, we had three or four questions that were going to be taken back by Mr. Zahn and discussed with the treasurer and other staff that administers the fund. So I would like to just begin.
Okay. Mr. Zahn,
if
please.
I mean, sir, to answer Speaker Walker's question, he had one specific on the increase in health card. Increase in membership versus the increase in health cards. We had roughly, as of the last the quarterly report, so ending June 30th, there was 501 new participants, more than we had the entire year with our previous, during 2017. Membership-wise, during 2017, we had 721 new members come through the membership office, and so far during 2018, we have 539 new members.
What's the total amount of new participants in the plan?
Total amount of new participants would have been the 501.
Okay, all right.
Okay, that's where I was confused also.
So did I hear that there's 700 and something new members?
Correct, members.
500 and something new
539 new members. Right, it's two different things. And just because you're a member doesn't necessarily mean they signed up for the plan. So these are two total different things. So we have 539 new members this year. We have 501 new participants in our WageWorks plan.
Gotcha.
Versus last year. And if I may continue.
Yes, please do.
Congresswoman Buffalo had asked the question about whether or not we would be able to identify age groups or age categories of those who are using the card. I talked to the gentleman who completed our report, and the initial answer is no. When they did the rollover report to see who had what, we didn't ask him to add the database, so those were removed. So when they did the report, they just did first name, last name, membership number, and then transactions. So he's going to go back and look and to see if, from his original report, to see if he maybe would have hidden that field initially, to see if we can correlate that with
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Just moving forward, because my questions were ones that I was like, well, we may not get helping in, you know, we may not be able to get that right now. And so it was really just for historical knowledge. But I would suggest to any of the questions that we kind of brainstormed at the last meeting that you all keep in mind moving forward, because I'm a believer in the historical data of when we started the card, knowing what our membership was then. And it's really just a matter of going to each little area and pulling the statistics. I mean, I know that we know every single year what we increase membership by. And I know that we know somewhere every single year what our membership has increased. Like knowing the 501 for this year, that's completely relevant to me and important information, but also knowing last year, the year before that, knowing what our the number of our new participants is, to me, important information, because we can look and say, we had, you know, 200 in this year, 300 in this year, 400 in this year, and this year we had 501. So maybe
establish a trend.
I would, so that we could see what our, so that we can see a graph of what our membership enrollment, how that's increasing, and then how the number of participants is increasing since its conception. I think that's good information to have.
Yes. Congresswoman Staber.
Thank you. I would go ahead, though, with the age groups. I think that's really important.
We can do that for the 2018 audit. We can ensure that he leaves date of birth in his data.
Okay, and then did this include the Medicare D's and F's? Or
no, ma'am. That was all separate. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
I agree, and actually, since he started, we started this meeting, I was sitting here just thinking about it, and that it actually may be harder to get than what we think, because when a few years ago, like maybe 4 years ago, it was before Chief Standing Bear took office, and I know this is one of the things that his administration worked on. When you had 3 or 4 or 5 dependents on your card, you had to get reimbursed. And that was really hard. Well, it was easy for some people, but for some single parents, it was almost impossible for them to go out and spend $500 per child and then turn around and get reimbursed. That was one of the main complaints that I heard as an elected official. So the new provider changed that. So now the parents get all the, whoever has custody of the, you know, the dependent gets the money on their card. And that might be actually harder information. So if a parent, and I'm just throwing a scenario out, an example. So if one parent has 2 kids on their card and they get, what, that's $1,500. They can spend it, their $500 on their child, but they don't know. They don't know what pot of money is coming from which individual. So if just $400 is spent out of that $1,500 for the year, they can't tell you if it was the parent or child A or child B. That's something to consider. I'm just not thinking about that.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason, on the 501 new participants, is there an over and under on the 65-year age? But you'll be able to tell that. You should be, without even having to, just from the number. They get 1,000, one's going to get 1,000, one's going to get 500.
Once we do the audit, okay. I'll be able to have that information. Okay. Yes, sir, but currently it's just, based on the reports, it just says last month we had this many, this month we have this many, and it doesn't say of this many how many were 65.
When the new members enroll with the tribe, is there any sort of communication with them that now you're a new member, here's what we have to offer? Is there any?
I believe Sarah and her team does that. I don't know 100% sure, but normally, you know, they send them out to constituent services and they let them know.
Someone's telling them about.
Yes, sir. What benefits that we have to offer. Yes, sir.
Okay, because I think that is important, that at least they're aware.
Yes, sir.
you know, what they have the opportunity to get. And the other thing I'd like to do, if it's permissible, Mr. Chair, there was a scenario that the clerk gave us last week, and I don't want to put her on the spot or anything, but it was an interesting scenario to me. It seemed like maybe there was some unaccountability for some funds. She got reimbursed, I believe, twice. But if it'd be okay, and it was a situation with Ms. Merle that happened, if it would be permissible, I think it's relevant to what we're talking about here and mistakes that possibly are happening within the accounting of the benefit.
Explain.
Okay. Yeah. Ms. Merle, that'd be your choice if you want to or if you do not want to. We're on the air. And
sure, I would be happy to explain wants. Because I would hate to know that it might happen to somebody else. I had before the HealthSmart WageWorks transition happened, I had some funds that I wanted to extend down to zero before the card changed. So I sent in paperwork in December to get reimbursement for some medical funds that totaled $444.45. And they wrote me and needed receipts, so I sent them receipts, and then they sent me a check in January for that amount. And then in February, my plan rolled over $444.45.
Okay. So the check that you received was from HealthSmart?
Yes.
HealthSmart check, okay. I will definitely look into that and make them aware of that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you. I just want to acknowledge that Kahika is here, and we're glad that he is present here this morning. Moving right along, acknowledging Speaker Walker.
With that scenario happening right here amongst us, it would make you think that would be very coincidental for that to just only have happened to her. And so that led to a little bit more discussion about who's doing any type of auditing and checking the numbers for the third-party administrator. Who does that? Is that just something that the records that we have within the treasurer's department and our third-party administrator, is that how they reconcile any potential discrepancies or disparities with the spending like the one that was just described? I don't know. I'm really just throwing that discussion out there, but if anybody could elaborate on it, I would like to hear it.
Mr. Zahn.
I know the recent change in law last October with 17116 required an annual audit with a third-party auditor. So we're doing that this year. And obviously, I mean, that'll start in April because the plan year goes from January to December, and then we allow the three-month rollout of any additional receipts that you incur during January, November or December. So we have to wait that period out. And then it's gonna go to the third party for an audit. And prior to that, it never had been required.
That's encouraging.
Yes, sir. And let's see what else. Yeah, that's not
If I may, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. I think that I've gotten two phone calls this whole time about somebody that fell through the crack in a similar manner, and maybe just one, but I guess we just get from that maybe that it went fairly smoothly, because I don't know any reason in the world why someone wouldn't, you know, if someone had been shortchanged or whatever, they wouldn't have gotten a hold of us.
Mr. Zahn.
And Ms. Morell's incident, it appears that happened in February during the transitional phase of us going to WageWorks from HealthSmart. And I don't know how many, I mean, we'll look into it to see if how many were sitting on their desks and we you know, sent the report to how much everyone had rolled over and then how many were received after they put it into the system. I'm not sure, but I would think that would be one example of what happened or how that would have happened if there was just a disconnect in between the transition. So moving forward, that should not happen. And when you submit a reimbursement, it's automatically deducted out of your account. And if you swipe your card, you'll see in the report, I forgot what they call them, it was a approved, let's see. If, in other words, it was an approved, say I went to the doctor copay and I didn't have any money on my account, I'll swipe it. It'll say approved amount, but I didn't have any money, so they didn't pay it. So that they track that as well, how many times that you try to swipe your card for legitimate expenses, but if you have nothing in your account, nothing happens. It's declined.
Congresswoman Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So now that we're going to have an audit, which is very encouraging, and we find situations where people were either shortchanged or actually given a double, you know, not shortchanged, and they had extra in there, what is the, is this there, will the WageWorks contact the constituent to say that we have made an accounting mistake and we will be removing this amount of money from your, I mean, do you know?
Typically, yes, ma'am. They'll send out letters. Just like if they say you were able to swipe it somewhere and it was found out it wasn't on our eligible list, they'll send out a letter saying, hey, this went through, but this is an ineligible expense. You need to reimburse us for X amount.
Okay.
Speaker Walker.
All good discussions, but I really think we're kind of talking about the health benefit plan fund, the legislation itself. We have an appropriation request at the table. It's for $10 million. Last year, the appropriated amount was $9,300,000. That's a $700,000 increase. Due to hitting the third year, there is an amount that's rolled over or whatever the proper terminology would be, but there's $600,000+ that's going back into the fund. That math just doesn't really jive with me. A $700,000 increase with $600,000+ going back into the fund. So I want to start talking about a potential reduction or an amendment to the bill to reduce the appropriated amount requested in the bill.
I think I can Mr. Zahn? Take a stab at that. I think I don't remember if last year's amount had incorporated any expected new members. I honestly don't. I just think there was a number that this one takes that into account. Whether you deem it's necessary to reduce the number of the projected. I mean that's all up to you. But this is just. These numbers also have a projection amount of potential new members participating in the plan.
Speaker Walker.
And we got into those numbers last time. What was the projected increase? I forgot.
In the health card, we projected an additional 180, which would have been 680 more. For the year plan, counting the fund. The dollar amount. Oh, sorry. 90,000 more is the possible enrollments.
Okay, we call it 100.
Okay, and let's see. The plan F would be at a projected 247,000.
An increase of $247,000?
Yes. Because we pay $206 per month, per person, that's 100 people, for 12 months, 247, 200.
It's going to be that every year.
If Well, if we get another 100 every year. And then if I make, and I do the Part D calculations. So that's $70.72 times every month times 100 people. So that's 84,000, 85,000, 85, 185, 200, 300. That's what, 400,000.
So about $435,000.
Project.
So if that was dead on, it would be $9,735,000 anticipated to fund it.
Yes, sir. And
Mr. Zahn.
We do our due diligence as well, monthly. Treasurer's office, we monitor the fund on a, you know, bi-monthly basis just to make sure that obviously if there was anything that was getting, you know, critical mass, we would raise the flag early.
Speaker Walker.
It's early on a Monday. Could I not then subtract the 600 and something thousand dollars?
660.
How much is
660?
I believe it's
616. So then, could we not take the 9,735,000 and subtract 616,000 from it? And that be the amount needed to fund the plan? I mean, we can't just ignore the $616,000. I understand the argument. Well, let's just let it roll back in there and have
$600-800 million
more in the fund. That's great in a perfect world. But we are hitting our head on the ceiling right now and appropriations versus projected revenue.
Move to recess.
Just for like 2 minutes.
Second.
Motion to recess to the call of the chair. Was that it?
Yes, sir.
Good enough?
Yes, sir.
Those in favor say yes.
Yes.
We are in recess.
How many participants did you get? 2018 was the 501.